see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. War after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. And glad you all could join me along tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble, if you're first here, if you've never been here before. All I do is I simply go through a Bible study. I have different subjects and sometimes the same subjects with different twists to it. But always stay within the realm of the King James Bible. That's my guide. Do y'all find that things are just getting so surreal out there that when you step back and you see what's really going on and you learn the truth about the Illuminati and all this stuff, Constitution and so forth and so on, and you realize history books are worthless. Long story short, you start to see how Satan really has his world organized. As he's setting up his world kingdom. I mean, this is really, I mean, we talk about it in Sunday school or you go to a seminar or whatever. Everybody just discusses it. But this is real. You know, this is real. It's real. And then you see it all transpiring as it happens. And people can discuss it and talk about it. But when they see it starting to get real, they want to stop talking about it and go into denial. And stop talking about it. Something's wrong here. If I see it coming real, I won't talk about it more. Discuss it more, not run away from it. Notice this? They talk about it. Seminars and training and all that. Bible studies. Then when you start seeing it really taking place, I don't want to talk about it anymore. We'll get everything backwards. And there's no escaping. It's impossible. Even if it wasn't to take place in 100 years, say God extended this tribulation period. And he says, you know, people are praying and working things out and all this. I'm just going to wait 100 years or 50 years. Still doesn't matter. Somebody, you're going to die eventually. You're going to die sometime. It's not being negative. It's what's going to happen. Or it could accidentally go or something or whatever. Well, your judgment's determined. Have you accepted Jesus as Savior? Irregardless of the rapture or end times events and wars and rumors of wars and all that. That's here and there. When you're dead, when you die, that'd be what would happen. If you died, you'd be dead. Your judgment's begun. That's it. Whether you live and be 90 or whether you, God forbid, that something was to happen accidentally tomorrow, either way. But y'all realize that every human being that's ever lived since Adam and Eve will be judged or rewarded depending on where they fit in God's kingdom. Every human being. How he does that, I don't know. That's beyond, I don't care. That's his business. I'm not going to sit here and try to analyze it and all that because I don't have the dimensional capacity to even understand it if I could. That's God's business, not mine. We just attend to God's business at hand at where he gives us. And let God take care of God's business. What are our jobs? Our job is to worship him. Our job is to treat our neighbors we want to be treated. Our job is to stand through the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to do. But instead, let's see, I'm 60 thereabouts. Gosh, you know, I better get my bucket list here. You know, I want to climb Mount Everest. I want to go scuba diving. I've already done that. I want to do all this stuff. Say five things. I don't feel like going through my head. Five things that I've never done before, because I'm an old guy, you know. So I want to get these things done before I have to kick this old earth goodbye. Okay, y'all follow me here? So I accomplish these events, these things, water skiing or hang gliding or rock climbing, something, whatever it is. I've done it. Now what? What do you do now? I mean, what have I accomplished? To say I've done it? Okay. Was God glorified in that case? Did it help anybody? I mean, really, I mean, what do you do? We tempt the Lord thy God with all these events. You know, they have a joke down here in the South. One of the last things you ever hear a Southern boy say, "Hey, y'all, watch this." He just does something crazy and dies. Where's your soul go? You see, this bucket list. Everybody's got a bucket list. When it's over, a couple of years, you vaguely remember doing something, whatever it was. But every day of worship is laying rewards for you in heaven. Every day helping someone, you remember that, don't you? Well, God does too. He don't care whether you climb Mount Everest or eat the most hot dogs at a sports bar or, I don't know, hang glide or all that stuff. God don't care about that. He cares about what you did for his children. What you did for yourself in regards to a relationship with him. Now, that he remembers. Self-denial. We got everything backwards. And it could be by the influence that we are put into in this world. I said for 5 years, I said, when you were born, you landed in what we call in the military a hot LZ, the day you were born. Satan is prince of this world. Now, we'll talk about that tonight, along with how to be saved. You know, I trained in martial arts for 30 years. I've trained people for, 25 years I've trained people. 5 years was my training. And when you get your black belt the first time, now you're ready to start learning. That really works. So what? Put it together. It means something, don't it? So what? Then you put it together. So what? It has two different meanings, don't it? Who have I led to Jesus Christ? Now that matters. I don't feel that intense desire any longer. I don't have it anymore. I don't have that desire to get in front of a dojo and say, "All right, line up. Here we go. Suzuki one." It's not there anymore. And gun takeaways. Over the past 4 years or 5 years, I don't have that desire to show me how to take a gun away and just beat the dickens out of the guy in the forehead with it. It's not there anymore. There's been changes in my life. I see a more spiritual reality coming like a choo-choo train, man, hard and fast. And that is the reality. Certainly self-defense is important, I guess, and I've done it all my life to train people and learn myself and all that. And there's cases where people defended themselves and all that. But I tend to look at the bigger picture nowadays. And that bigger picture is starting to take shape, like a jigsaw puzzle and about finishing case. Because it's going by the book and it's moving fast. We can see the mark. We can learn about lie killers. We can learn about the Sananda Manuel, the fallen angels, the disclosure. These things are all starting to happen. The tattoo, the digital tattoo, how it works. I mean, we start to see all this transpire. The mark of the beast. All that stuff is starting to appear. Dedicate to broadcast. Then we'll get started. Talk tonight about how to be saved. And look at this from a perspective. Not only you, me, but what are you going to say to other people on how to be saved? Because that's what it's going to come down to. A lot of people don't realize that yet. They don't see it happening, or they're in denial. Just all of a sudden in my head, denial pops in my head, prolonging ignorance. Denial prolonging the inevitable. Prolonging final acceptance, prolonging reality acceptance. That's what it really is. Because once it hits, people are going to panic out because they've either forgotten about it, or they haven't thought about it, or they're denying it. Using a self-defense method. If you've never thought about what you're going to do when someone runs up to your car and tries to jerk open your door, you're in a state of panic. Your mind goes to a black level of awareness and you freeze. If you thought about it, somebody comes in my car, I'm going to throw it in drive and kick it, or throw it in reverse and back up if I can, or roll the window up and kiss her. You got some idea. Some people don't want to think about that, so don't think about it. Others do. So the minute someone actually does it, and one day it may happen, you have put it in your data bank. And that's all your mind focuses on, is what you've already trained yourself to do. Now, if you've not trained yourself, you're The only way you can accomplish it is to calm yourself down so you can think by breathing. Okay, that's self-defense. Now, if you haven't thought about the end times events, how to train someone to be saved, how to lead someone to be saved, how to identify the end times events, and people panic, you're going to have a different look about you. You're going to have a look of calmness of some sort because you've seen this before. You've thought about it. You knew it was coming. People that haven't, they're going to freak out and get their eyes going to get wide and their eyebrows are going to go up and they're shaking and breathing heavy, breathing fast and shallow. And you're like, well, here we go. Wow. Okay. They're going to see a difference there and they're going to come to you. Why are you so calm? Is going to be the subliminal thinking they're going to have. You're calm. Help me. Not help me to be calm because I'm scared. They're going to say. They'll come to you. Be ready. If it's not in your lifetime and God extends it, so be it. Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's get moving. Lord, we thank you tonight. Bring us together again in this Bible study, Father. Thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us, Lord, and help us through wisdom, discernment, and your Holy Spirit to see those small things, Lord, that we can be appreciative of. Let us not forget, Father, that you're there, and there's the little things we should learn to appreciate. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Bible, the King James Bible, that, Lord, it leads us and gives us knowledge of the supernatural way and the way of salvation. We thank you for your knowledge, Lord, and your Holy Bible. We pray for that Marine, Lord, today. We pray for that Marine down in Mexico that is in prison right now, that, Father, they'll find a way to get him out. We pray for other veterans, Lord, that are being attacked by their own country through the psychotropic drugs and these vaccines and the suicides that's being orchestrated. Father, we need help down here supernaturally. We need whistleblowers, Lord. Some honest players, some people that are going to tell the truth about what's going on at the highest level. Father, we pray against these covens as kidnapping these children for sacrifices worldwide. Father, we call upon you to expose them for who and what they are. To take down their protection. Expose them to the world, Lord. And through their exposure, set up divine appointments that someone can witness to them. Father, we pray for our clergy, our churches to wake up. And Father, to start using the true word of God in the King James. And Father, to start using the right methods of preaching to bring those to repentance. Witness the truth about salvation. And Father, to give us wisdom, discernment to see through the end times events that we may be used in your service. And these things we pray, Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We talked last night about what is a real Christian. It's kind of an odd question, isn't it? What's a real Christian? Isn't a Christian a Christian? A real Christian is any man, woman, or child who comes to God as a lost sinner, accepts the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior, surrenders to him as his Lord and Master, confesses him as such before the world, strives to please him in everything, every day of his life, every day of his life. Not just on Sundays. You're going to be tempted. The more you try, Satan's going to put a temptation on you. After all, did to Jesus Christ too, you know. But the words you don't want to hear is when he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You don't want to hear that. And he's speaking to Christians then. It's those that's being misled. But you ask yourself, have you surrendered to him as your Lord and Master? Are you willing to do his will even when it conflicts with your own desire? What about Joshua? I didn't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I want to go somewhere else. Now, how he got that fish to get over Joshua, I just don't know. Oh, Jonah, excuse me. How he got Jonah in that fish, I don't know. But that's God's business. And it happened. It's not hyperbole. Peter was having a little bit of problem, and Paul went to fix him a little bit after the Pentecost. What did David do? Oh, Moses killed that slave, killed that Egyptian. Noah got drunk. David, how did he fare out? They weren't all perfect. But if you're not sure yet that you've personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, or you know others that have not, all you can do for them is pray. For you, it's a matter of decision. And just saying the words of the prayer doesn't do it. You got to mean it in your heart. How to be saved? Well, there's some set of instructions I'm going to give you all that you can work. And there's all kinds that you can find in other places too. And they're for the use of those who have a serious desire to obtain the mercy of God. And that alone can deliver you from your evil habits, some of them. He considers all our habits to be evil. Let's just put it like this. I know of a family whose father was a heavy, heavy, heavy smoker. Heavy smoker. And come toward the end of his life, he's still living, he acquired Alzheimer's. Got real sick. Causing him to be wheelchair bound, house bound. Mind kind of went, like in 24 hours. Is Alzheimer's, from not to have some, Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever. And you know, I tend to think that maybe God allowed that, possibly, to get him away from the addiction of the cigarettes that was killing him anyway. And his wife was catching the worst of it with a secondhand smoke. So God will allow certain things to happen that may have some benefit to it, although we may not see it. This is profound. How to be saved. Deliver us from temptation. It can deliver us from our evil habits, from the power of the devil, from eternal hell. And to those who consider and obey him, I'll tell you the following things. set apart a special time for your consideration, retiring if possible into some quiet place where you can be alone with God. How many times we do that? I'm just too busy. Or 7 steps I'm going to give you. And read them. Do other research. First and the last, and go through them again. Or earnestly pray for that guidance of the Holy Spirit, which God promised to all who seek Him. But you've got to have that faith. And with all your heart, on your knees before God, take 1 step at a time. Be careful not to leave the first step for the second till it's clearly understood. And accept and solemnly decide upon those steps and so on. And with the second and third steps until the last is reached. Take 1 step at a time. Now, what I'm going to talk about is 7 steps. And your goal is to reach the mercy seat of Christ, of grace, and be before Jesus Christ. To have the knowledge of forgiveness of sins and His present salvation. And the first step is to get rid of that pride, because if you don't, you'll never think you've sinned. And you'll go straight into denial. Or you justify whatever we've done. First John 1, verse 8. First John 1, 8, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 8, 23. And First John 1, 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against my God, against my neighbor, and against my own soul. Sinned in my own thoughts, in my feelings, my conversation, in my actions. Sinned at home and in the family. Sinned in the world, in my business and pleasures. I've done the things I ought not to have done in my life. Dialogue. Left undone the things I ought to have done, and to freely admit it. Not to cover your sins. They have more in number than you can count. You ever told your children that there's a Santa Claus or a Tooth Fairy? Is there one? Oh, that's going a bit too far there, isn't it? Well, I ask you again, is there one? We color code lies. I just told a white lie. Oh, that wasn't a white lie. That was a black lie. Oh, man. I had a 40-year-old truck driver try to talk me out of slowing him down when he was going through the gates when I was working in Chicago. He didn't have some proper paperwork or something. I don't know what it was. He said, look, man, I got to go. I said, well, I got to fix this because it ain't going to work. Because we're not supposed to let, blah, blah, blah. Oh, come on, man. Just tell him it is. It's only a white lie. I said, what? This guy's like 40-something years old. You know, an adult, you know. He said, no, it's just a white lie. I said, white lie? I said, well, you color code him? How you color code a lie? Anyway, I tried to see if he had his fingers crossed or something. In any case, we're all sinners. And we do good deeds. How dare you call me a sinner? Is that right? No, good deeds don't work. That doesn't save us because we do good deeds. That means we can save ourselves by good deeds. It don't work that way. discovery of sin. Second step is feel sorry for that sin, but you did it, instead of justifying it. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Luke 18:13. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 10. Do we bow our heads with our eyes closed? Why? Where'd that come from? Praying is with eyes up and hands out. Praying upward. That's where Jesus is. Because he's being intercessor for you. Before the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ, no, it was lying prostrate in some cases. Others lifting up, sure. But it mentions here, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. Praying is looking up to God. Praying to him up there, not in the ground. Eyes closed, heads bowed, eyes closed. How often do we do that? All the time. Where'd that come from? To see we've sinned against God, being truly sorry for having done so, and to hate our evil ways. Third step, confession of sin. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So not only are we sorry for our account of our sins, but to freely confess and acknowledge him before God. We're not talking about excuses. There's a saying that goes along with it, but I'll leave that alone. To make confession in private to God. But seeing that we've sinned in the presence of our family and of the people around us, being willing to confess our sinfulness, our sorrow on account of it, as far as I have the opportunity. And to acknowledge it to other people. Fourth step is putting away that sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7. It just makes you wonder, in the Garden of Eden, what would have happened, of course it didn't happen this way, but what would happen if Adam, when he's asked, "What are you doing?" he says, "Well, I sinned and I failed. I was responsible for keeping my family straight, but I failed. I'm responsible." What would have happened, I wonder? What would have happened if Adam had owned up? No, he didn't, though. He said, "That woman right there did it. By golly." He didn't think he said, "By golly." He said, "No, the woman, she beguiled me. Look, 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 not me, her. Yeah, see there? Nah, nah, the boo-boo. I'm telling on you." What'd a woman do? Wasn't me. Is that snake over yonder? What'd God do? he nailed all three of them. Boom, boom, boom. Confession of sin and no excuses. We make a confession to privacy and God, to God, and seeing that we've sinned in the presence of our family and the people around us, being perfectly willing to confess our sinfulness and sorrow on account of it. Fourth step said, putting away sin. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. So not only do we see ourselves to be a sinner, hate the sins, confess them before God and man, but I do now, by God's help, renounce and give up every one of them. The fifth step is asking forgiveness for sins. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Psalms 103:3. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Watch your sins be as scarlet through your skin. Though your skins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Forgiveness of sin. And then feeling how shamefully you've rebelled against Heavenly Father and despising His love, breaking His commandments and influencing others to do the same. That's not good. That's bad. Sixth step, consecration. Then along with it, you got sanctification. But right now, consecration. Consecration. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. 1 Peter 2:9. Whoops. Says, let's say 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. To be faithful is strength with all your heart, and he will forgive you and forgive and receive you from his favor. You'll come from time to engage as faithful servants, promising to spend the rest of your days in doing what you can for his glory. Then the seventh step is faith. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. There you go. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. That sums it up right there about the boasting, about good works don't get you there. It's Ephesians. You know, Jesus Christ, God's Son, and in his great mercy and his love, died for us in our place, bearing our sins, his own body on the cross. Believe in this, to here and now, welcome him in your heart as your Savior from hell, from sin, from the power of the devil. Accept him as Lord of your life. Here and now, devote your life to pleasing him. It doesn't say just on Sunday. That's what everybody does, is on Sunday. Every other day? Oh, no. I got family members that visit here frequently nowadays. You doing that still? Man, you're too obsessive. I said, well, I got two broadcasts a day. Ha, that's a lot. Every time I come in here, you see, oh, it works. I tell you, it's always working. Something's going on. I say, well, you come here again tomorrow, it'll be the same thing. Make sure you come here at 7:30. Anyway. His precious blood washes away all sin. He is wounded for our transgressions. He is bruised for our iniquities. The punishment we ought to have endured was laid upon him. He bore it for us. He can save you. That's really the bottom line. What's going to happen? And it's going to happen. You know, I go to Golden Corral sometimes. That's a buffet. I sit around and look. I used to go by myself and all that. I sit around and watch people. And I'll see Americans and leave the table. They got mounds of food left. And don't even ask for a box. Of course, I don't think you can do that at Golden Corral, but don't even leave the food there, man. They only put it in their pocket and nothing. They just leave it there. I mean, food. I'm thinking to myself, yeah. Let's see what happens when the markets close down and that second and third horse rides. Let's see you leave it then. You see, they have no idea. They fatten us up. When they pull the plug and God lets them, boy, oh boy, oh boy. This country's been placated. We've been placated since 1776. Placated. God couldn't possibly have blessed a country that kept slaves of other human beings from 1712, 11 or whatever, literally to about 1960. And what we did, what the immigrants did to the Indians and Mexicans. I mean, call it what it is. And the 700,000 children missing. And the what we did to the Indians. I think I said that already. And, you know, you got to own up to this stuff. You got to own up to these things, these events. All the war is being perpetrated. The dollars having the occult signs on them. It's not of God. And God we trust. Wrong God. Sorry. So we're placated into thinking everything's okay, and it's not okay. And God's going to bless that. So out of it, he gives us blessings. And because we have the laws that supposed to enforce, or actually to match the Bible, the laws of the land, gives people opportunity to make the right choices and so forth. But you start changing the laws of the land to go against the Bible, now you got a serious problem. I think the Jews in Jerusalem will tell you about that, 70 AD, don't you think? When they got with the Assyrians, that wasn't good either. Or the Egyptians, that wasn't good either. So they should be able to tell you what happens when you turn away from God. It gets ugly. You see? And every day now, there's states falling away with that same-sex marriage. Before long, they're going to make it federal. It's like all of a sudden, I'm watching the news, and it's all of a sudden, all these things are coming out in the woodwork. Just all of a sudden, it's just boom, 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 boom. One thing after another. Notice that. When you know the whole scheme and maneuver, you can see it all happen. You say, I know where he's going with this. I know where they did that. And other people ain't going to get it. So, how to be a happy Christian? It's time for solutions. Don't y'all think? When you become a child of God, the success and growth of your Christian life depends on you. You alone. Not a preacher, not a pastor, not a rabbi, not a bishop, cardinal, or whatever. It's by you and God. That's it. You know, the blessing of every real Christian life is his own community. It's just, I don't know, beyond description, beyond reasoning. When others refuse to read the Bible, your life will be read by them daily to watch you. The family members I was talking about, some of them are forced or having to visit me for various reasons, my stepdad. They have to endure when they come in me on the air while they're here, you know. And those that work for the secret societies or intelligence agencies that monitor certain radio stations, and they got to endure hearing the gospel. So I say, have at it. Spy all you want. I don't see the problem. They got to listen. And when they listen, they are responsible for what they hear. They're forced responsibility. They will be held accountable. That there's no question. What can you do? Study the Bible. Set aside 15, 20 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever a day for Bible study. Let God talk to you in 10 or 15 minutes a day through his word. You talk to God 15 minutes a day in prayer, then talk for him 15 minutes a day in testifying and personal witnessing to others. First Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. What does King James just have a way of putting things? The word of God is food for the soul. Take this bread and eat. Aha! Sound familiar? The word of God is food for the soul. Commit to memory one verse of scripture each day. Hey, won't you join a good Bible study? Psalms 119:11. What does that say? Psalms 119:11 was way down here. 119:11. There's a lot. Well, he did a lot of writing in Psalms, didn't he? The word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Again, pray much. Study the Bible. Pray much. Praying is always talking to God. Talk to him about anything. Your perplexities, joy, sorrow. There's a commercial. I got a computer thing. Sometimes I watch YouTubes and all that. There's a commercial. Got that movie star, Gary Busey or whatever. As a commercial, it has to do with some TV program or something. I don't know what it is. It's a channel changer kind of thing and shows movies on this program. And you hit a button and you say the name, title, and they'll pop it up for you. Well, before he does that, he says, do you like talking to things as much as I do? I like talking to things. He looks over and he says, hello, lamp. He'll sit there like he's talking to a stupid lamp on the commercial. He'll look over and smile, and he'll look down, shake his head up down. Hello, pants. Now, if all this silliness, while you're talking to your channel changer, or you're talking to your pants or talking to your stupid lamp, you could be praying and talking to God instead. This new age stuff going on. Oh, boy. Someone be out there talking to the llamas. I don't know. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let him know what you're requesting. Philippians 4, verse 6. Study the Bible. Pray much. Win someone for Christ. Ooh, that's a toughie sometimes if you're not prepared. For spiritual growth, you need not only food, Bible study, his word, but exercise. Work for Christ. The work that Christ gave us to win others. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Calvinists talk against this. You're not supposed to do that. I don't know where they get that from. Number four, you can shun evil companions. Sometimes you have to. If you're unequally yoked, it could be a problem. Join a good church. Good luck. I'm finding it really hard when a preacher starts pushing that NIV and he won't listen to the comeback on it. Like, where's the missing verses? Why? So it's hard to find a good church these days, really. Give support to the Lord's work of necessity. Do not become discouraged. God always warned those who he called to heaven to never be afraid nor to be discouraged because he has promised. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Well, to be saved, and present it to someone that needs salvation, redemption, their hearts being pricked, convicted, and there you go. And God will say, okay, I give you the words, and you lead them to him. Sometimes they freak out, and they don't know what to say. And they see you calm in the time of a storm. They're going to come find out why you're calm, because they're seeking the same thing. Get those steps in your mind and lead someone to Jesus. And if they're sincere, you got to deal with somebody crying before you, because those tears are going to flow. When the Holy Spirit touches them, there's no way they can have a dry eye. Because that Holy Spirit, when it convicts, it's like a pounding sledgehammer. And it works. But trust in him to lead you there. So, end times events. Just going by the book. We talked last night about one of the signs of his coming, where we left off. And we talked about wars. That's pretty obvious. That's a no-brainer. Their plan for wars, Illuminati, was 1914 to 1945. It was pre-planned 1870s. Put puts a whole damper on history, don't it? Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. A lot of those things are caused now by technology. There's a lot of Christians out there, I know I've talked a bunch, that they think only God controls the weather. Well, no. The Illuminati, using knowledge gained from the fallen angels, have actually been able to synthesize not only demonic activity, voices in the head, and influence on the body by manipulating ELF transmissions of the body directed to your DNA, directed to your house, directed to your state, or whatever. They can do that. A flash mob turning violent. That's what they're leading up to all along in the first place. And putting voices in people. That's what happened in the early 1990s with Iraq. Scores and scores and scores of them just given up of the elite guard. They used ELF transmission, voice to skull. ELF techniques and technology caused them all to get out of there. That's what that was all about. It wasn't because they just, oh, we fear Americans, we're coming out. No, they used technology. Practice makes perfect, you know. The militia would do well to understand this. And all those planning any kind of retribution. I'm not going there tonight. Wars and rumors of wars. All the planned wars in the 1870s planned to go between 1914 and 1945. With World War III being the last one as planned in 1870s. Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes are created and designed to test it out. Lord Jesus said, there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. He didn't say, I will bring judgment in with famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. No, there will be. In other words, he will allow it to happen. Israel will become a state as a nation. It's really a colony of England today, like we are in Canada and Australia, all are. Colonies of England today. We never want our freedom. Well, Israel is too. And Jerusalem. City concerns the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, be fulfilled. That's why you have the name Jesus in the Bible instead of Yeshua or Yeshua or Joshua. So Jerusalem is now controlled by the Jews. It's another sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be 10 kingdoms. The Bible says in the last days there'll be a confederation of 10 nations out of what was the old Roman Empire. So the European common market appears as confederation. But it looks like that Turkey would be the nation coming south and attacking Israel, not Russia. But who knows? You know it when it happens. We know that World War III is between Islam and Zionism. And that will bring on the fallen angels to bring peace. So I don't know what they're trying to kick up in Ukraine, but the real World War III, as planned, is between Islam and Zionism. Islam, Arabs are the bloodline of Ishmael. Zionists, mixed in with Jews, Jacob, Isaac, the offspring of Abraham, both fighting each other. While the Europeans, or the old Roman Empire, waits in a lurch to take center stage when they all fight to exhaustion. That's what they're planning to do. God's going to allow it to happen. Because the scriptures confirm a one world government, one world currency, one world religion is on the way. Peace efforts. Another sign in the last days is a great increase in peace conferences, and peace efforts have failed and will continue to fail until Jesus comes. They'll never have one that works. He is the Prince of Peace, and he'll be on earth. There'll be no peace on earth until he's reigning. They've adopted the name the Prince of Peace for their coming Maitreya as well. They'll call him the Prince of Peace or Sananda. Peace efforts will be made. Traveling knowledge. The Bible says that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Boy, is that happening or what? Then there's great wickedness. There's a mother the other day, a few days ago, it'd be the other day, killed her three kids with a knife and tried to cut herself when her husband come home. Can you imagine? What? Something's not right here. Man, this is not like turning gas on, everybody go to sleep or something, or any of that, or giving them pills or something. This is just, gosh, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Can you imagine a husband coming home? Family, this is because of demonic activity. It's what people aren't getting. They don't want to listen either. They don't want to listen. You can't tell them. The increase of satanic activity is atrocious. It's egregious. The gross impact of satanic agenda has its effect on the world in every possible way imaginable. Rituals are performed daily and right before your very eyes. Sports events. These are satanic rituals. People don't realize. They think it's just part of the entertainment. No, not at all. And when you watch TV, you're subject to ritualistic incantations. And look at the TV. It goes back to the 1960s. Bewitched? Come on now. My favorite Martin. There. Martian. My stepmother was alien. How about this? I mean, it's so fundamental. The training, the manipulation, predictive programming. Most people are asleep at these things. They don't want to acknowledge them. They're in denial. It's better to be sung a lullaby than to be placed into a state of shock. Rather to see the truth, one would rather live in a bubble. Do you know that the police in most large cities in the United States are told to throw a blind eye to this kind of activity? You have infiltration of felons that are well-trained, getting ready to take over. Oh, they're there. Not only that, but they're told in general to place any kind of paranormal activity into the domestic violence category. Yeah, don't acknowledge it. Don't ask questions. And more importantly, don't tell the public the truth. So witchcraft is covered up along with Freemasonry. It's a given, the hush-hush about witchcraft, Wicca. Because most of our leaders, our politicians, and elite of the world practice it on a daily basis. But we are warned. And you know that demonic activity has always been a part of the modern world. And you know it goes back thousands of years. And Satan uses his minions and even himself to keep the average person deceived and thrown into darkness. There's a little saying that I found the other day. Well, it was longer than the other day, but a while back. And it goes something like this. Author is unknown. Because, quote, every conspiracy is simply a step in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion towards God as executed by his human agents. That's the bottom line. Demonic activity has been a part of this modern world, and it goes back all the way back to the Adam and Eve, actually. Certainly to Nimrod. You're attacked in your waking state and in your sleep. It's a war, supernatural war, and we're caught in the middle of it. I don't think it was any accident that Godzilla came out, the beast out of the sea. It's called predictive programming. We're kept in the dark about the increase of mental illness, too, within our society. Why would that be? Because it's a symptom. It's surely become an epidemic. Now there's legitimate cases of real mental illnesses. But no doubt, take a look at this crazy world, you'll see the signs pop up out everywhere of a madness which rages before us all. A severe disabling mental illnesses dramatically increased in the United States. Marcia Angel says, and I quote, "The tally of those who are so disabled by mental disorders that will qualify for supplemental security income or Social Security disability insurance increased nearly 2.5 times between 1987 and 2007, from 1 in 184 to 1 in 76. For children, the rise is even more startling, a 35%, 35-fold increase in the same 2 decades. And you know, in 2011, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they reported that antidepressants in the United States have increased nearly 400% in the last 2 decades. Makes antidepressants the most frequently used class of medication by Americans between the ages of 18 and 44. So by 2008, 23% of women aged 40 to 59 years of age were taking antidepressants. So, CDC, on May the 3rd, 2013, reported that suicide rates among Americans aged 35 and 64 years of age increased 28.4% between 1999 and 2010. Whoa. Family, this is demonic activity and synthesized demonic activity. It's not just the individuals. It's being orchestrated. It's just getting worse. And so when you read these things and you start thinking about, well, we've got to sign International Rights of the Child. Well, that's a bad idea. Because they're there to take your children away from you. Crime, hatred, extreme violence has increased in the last 10 years, of course, and the media would like you to think it's down. So they want to keep us believing the lies, and they feed us. But in actuality, the acts with extreme emotional connections are on the uprise. For example, aggressive driving. Assaults in and around bars. Bullying in schools, big, and it results in suicide. Cemetery vandalism. drive-by shootings, graffiti, homeless encampments, school vandalism, stalking, street robbery. How about that other one, knockout game? Well, that's no fun. Someone comes up and knock you out as initiation. Hate crimes, also called bias crimes or offenses, where the offender intentionally selects a victim because of their actual or perverted race, perceived race, and color, religion, national origin, ethnicity, gender, disability, or sexual orientation. Depends on what they're searching for. Think about it for a minute. You can drive down the street and people just act nuts. You don't have to be gay or color or religion, whatever, to witness this fact. People let their emotions rule them. They let go and act upon their thoughts and feelings. And we're supposed to keep them in check. They can implant thoughts using NLP through technology. And people don't even know it. So, you know, in this Roman Catholic Church, need I say more? It's one of the worst. These churches are falling in line with it. Which brings us to several points. The peace efforts, peace conferences, Prince of Peace, the travel and knowledge. Bible says at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12, verse 4. There'll be great wickedness. You know, the world's not getting better. It's getting worse. If you haven't figured that out, people haven't out there. I know you all have, but man, there's people out there who ain't got a clue. Whoa, man. Instead, it's getting much worse, though. And this is fulfillment of the words of the Lord Jesus. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days of man, Son of Man, Luke 17:26. What was it like in the days of Noah? This will reflect back in your scripture reading. Why did he kill everything except 8 people? And of course, the 2x2 animals. Because it was a time of great wickedness on the earth. The Bible says it. And God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. And every imagination and the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Genesis 6:5. Wars, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Israel, Jerusalem, 10 kingdoms, peace efforts, travel and knowledge. And then there's great wickedness. Which brings us to spiritism and witchcraft, which is predominant even in your legislators, even in the White House, even Queen Elizabeth II and her nursemaid, who looked like a weightlifter, but she had a belt buckle on that had the pentagram on one side of the belt buckle and the Masonic logo on the other side of the belt buckle. Now, that's a sure giveaway. Current interest in horoscopes, fortune tellers, witchcraft, spiritism, another sign that we're living in the last days. First Timothy 4:1. It's pretty clear. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Which would lead up to apostasy. Because the Bible tells us in the last days, just before Jesus comes back, will be marked by great apostasy. And if you look at the word, apostasy means a falling away from the truth. This is happening now. Some people think it's been fulfilled, but we still have people that pray. I think a big deception is coming. It's going to cause a massive pulling away. Apostasy has not yet been fulfilled. Set up? Yes. Fulfilled? No. Because you still have praying people here. In many of the seminaries and Bible schools, teachers and professors no longer believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. They make light of the miracles. They deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is God and destroy the faith of all they teach. You almost have to go back decades to find, it seems like in the 80s, late 80s or 90s, it all takes place. But I'm going to tell you, don't stay under the teachings of those who deny the great truths. It's already listed in the Bible. The Bible says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." Whoa, Proverbs 19:27. Because there's a great apostasy in many churches today. Many ministers claim to be servants of God, of Christ, no longer preach the gospel. They no longer preach that men are lost sinners, as I mentioned a little while ago, and need to be saved through faith in the blood of Jesus. Instead, these men deny the necessity of the new birth, preach that God is the Father of all men, that all men are brothers, as the Bible says, from search turn away. And they're coming out of the woodwork, too. Matter of fact, so much so, at these Jesuit schools, actually train them to be ministers of different faith. So in other words, you got a Roman Catholic priest or Jesuit being trained to be a First Baptist minister or a Presbyterian minister. And they're really Jesuit in disguise. Oh, yeah, this is not speculation. This actually happens. They're called the disassemblers. So what do these signs tell us? They tell us that Jesus is coming soon. That's the point. He could come today. He could. When you shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So what's going to happen when he comes? First of all, he will come secretly to take his church out of the world. In other words, it'll happen fast, not be preempted with something. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, every believer will be caught up to meet the Lord. No one knows it's pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, or whatever. Nobody can really tell you. What will the world be like when all the Christians are gone, those born again? Well, it'll be a world without decency and restraint. And evil and wickedness will abound as never before. At this time, there's been an extraordinary man who's going to appear out on the earth. And this individual, he'll possess great leadership ability and marvelous powers. He'll even be able to call down fire from heaven, which could be by technology or a little bit of supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors from fellow fallen angels or whatever. But his power will not come from God. His power will come from Satan. He is the Antichrist. And you know, through his deceit and miraculous powers he'll exhibit, Satan's Antichrist will take control of the whole world. No one will be able to buy or sell without this mark. Look at lie killers. They have some kind of a video thing. They got a real interesting little figure that they're going to put on people's foreheads. On the outer edges of it, there's 666. You can see it in their scribblings. Oh, boy. He will set up a great image, require people to worship him in his image. Those who refuse to do so will be killed. Remember that one in Oklahoma, the Baphomet that they're putting up? They're starting to put up these darn Baphomets. It's Oklahoma, right? I think it was. Right beside the Ten Commandments. Oh, boy. And the Great Tribulation, which brings me to that. The first part of the Antichrist's reign will be a time of great prosperity on earth. Until such time, this will last about a couple of years. Who knows how long. But you'll have no question that when the time of great trouble and distress is, God pours out his wrath on a wicked, Christ-rejecting world, that terrible time is called the Great Tribulation. And you know, the Bible says at that time, there will be disturbances in the heavens. And here is when the sun will turn black as sackcloth. The moon will turn blood red. So on earth there will be plagues, diseases, and earthquakes, and famines. One third of the inhabitants of the world will be killed. That's yet to come. Somebody might think that those who heard rejected the gospel, and that was before, would surely repent of their sins and turn to Christ during this great tribulation. But they won't. Because the Bible says, because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's harsh, but that's true. Very true. And then following these terrible events of the Great Tribulation, Jesus Christ will return to earth in great power and glory. He will destroy his enemies and set up a kingdom here on earth for 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and 8. Now, I got a comment about that. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here is where I have a speculation, a belief, based on certain evidences and facts, but draw your own conclusion, that they got to fake that. So if they fake the return of Jesus Christ and these wars, they got to have a fake war of some kind and establish a fake Antichrist to make it look like it's Jesus Christ coming back. So they got to have a fake one, and then the real Antichrist, and then Jesus Christ comes after that to copy, to get rid of the reptilian race, get rid of the bankers, get rid of the bad guys. You see how it works? But Jesus is coming soon, the real Jesus. And for unbelievers, the coming of the Lord Jesus might be a time of terror and judgment. But for Christians, roaming of the Lord is associated with the term hope. It's a blessed hope, a comforting hope, a purifying hope, and this at the judgment seat of Christ. What can you do? If you truly believe that Jesus is coming soon, some things you might think about. Do the job at hand. God has a job for you, and he'll present to you. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You do this by prayer, Bible study, by serving the Lord. You prepare yourself that which to serve God and learn His Word. Win others to the Lord Jesus. And deny yourself and live for the Lord Jesus and others. This is a secret of fruitful life. You know, Jesus Christ said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John 12:24. And then, of course, maintain Christian fellowship. Those times are coming. Terrible events are going to happen eventually. And it's called the Great Tribulation. But Jesus already defeated them. When Jesus comes, our blessed hope, He will change your bodies, our bodies, to be more like His glorious resurrection body. It'll take place in an instant. It's a comforting hope. The unbelieving people will bury their dead with no hope of ever seeing them again. But not so with the Christians. When Jesus comes, those that you love the most that are died, trusting in Him, will be raised from the dead, and we shall be reunited with them forever. Can you imagine? It's a purifying hope. That born-again Christian who truly believes in the coming of the Lord is near, purifies himself. What that means is he gets himself ready for the Lord's coming because he knows he will be soon to stand before God through Jesus Christ to give an account of his life. At the judgment seat of Christ, we'll be judged for what we've done after we were saved. Special problem for some believers if they didn't do anything with what they had, but they'll still be glad they're there. Some of the things that the Lord will judge us by in the last days is He'll judge us by how much of His Word that we've learned and obeyed. He'll judge us by our obedience or lack of obedience to the Great Commission, spreading the gospel. He will call us before Him and say, I committed the gospel to you. What did you do that others might be saved? He'll judge you by how we've used our time, our abilities, and our money. And lastly, some believers will be found to be faithful servants and receive great rewards from the earth, Lord. Others will be found in unfaithful servants and will be dealt with as such. Suicide is not an option. Pray for those who commit suicide. That's happening quite a bit nowadays. Family, guess what? We're at the end. Happy days to you, till we meet again. You got it? Family, know that Friday I won't be live. I'll be living, but won't be live on air until about Tuesday or Wednesday or so. I'll be putting information out for my return next week. I'll be gone for a while. But I'm only a phone call away, and I'll take my computer with me in case something goes down. And heading south. Hey, y'all. So I hope you got something out tonight. Practice what you're going to do to lead someone. You might even want to really practice it in the mirror with Christians in Bible study. To play roles. You know what I mean? To actually do role playing. I mean, take it to another level. Learn to be able to memorize Scripture and use it. Be able to talk to Jehovah's Witness, talk to a Mormon, talk to know what to say. And other Christians that using other corrupted Bibles. How do you tell them? Your Bible's corrupt. And their preacher, who's a theologian, makes up excuses why it's not. The heck it's not. All of them are. Every single one of them. By design, that's the worst, rough part about it. If it's accidental, you know, you might be getting over at something. You just say, oh, is it accidentally? Oh, okay. But this is on purpose. It's even worse. By two Freemasons, Westcott and Hort, did it on purpose. That's rough. Well, family, y'all have a good night. Let's close with prayer, and then we'll see y'all tomorrow. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in a Bible study once again. We thank you, Lord, for this network. Father, to help us be patient, help us to understand what you want us to do, for fulfill your, what you have us do, fulfill your will that it be done. And Father, our part of it, let us know what we have to do. Father, give us courage and discernment. And Father, touch those around us that, Lord, they'll let go of that pride and take Jesus as Savior. We pray for Bible studies, Lord, and we pray for the blood of Jesus around us. Protect us as we move along our ways. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by. And I'll see you all then tomorrow. At 4 o'clock, Bible study. And if you have any questions, send me an email or anything during the week, weekend. I'd be glad to read it. Remind you that we are played up in HighPointRadio.net in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. John Kirkler, he has sponsors up there. And in those three states, he has three towers now. And he has sponsors, so give him a call up there. Give him a little hand if you live up there or listen to him or whatever. Also, we played out at KBLU Radio in Colorado. Blue Raven Network. Thomas there. Put him in your prayers, too. And family, there you go. So we'll see you all tomorrow. And know that's the voice of truth. It tells a different story than what we hear. And that voice of truth comes from the Lord Jesus Christ through the King James Bible. Y'all have a great evening. And good night.
Climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants called out my name and they laughed at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before the